Maroney Zone Radio, the award-winning view and interview show with your host, Jeff Roney. Okay, I have Megan Enloe on the phone, and we're going to be talking about the economy and actually how it has impacted her family in just a little bit. So, hi, Megan, how are you?
Hi, Jeff. I'm doing great. How are you?
Okay, good, good. First of all, big fan of all that you do.
Thank you. Thank you.
You really have a gift of really finding interesting people and commiserating. And I think that's kind of a great gift of networking. So, I mean, that's really the first thing I wanted to say. And I think it'll kind of tie in as we go. I think it's neat that you're using Twitter to really connect with people.
There's so many interesting people out there, and so many of them have found Twitter. And it's a great way to make these tiny little connections that you wouldn't have made otherwise, because you find out something interesting about them that is not going to be on their resume. It's not going to be on any kind of bio, but you find out something unique that maybe you have in common. And it makes for some fun conversations sometimes.
Well, and I think the nice thing is, too, is that I would imagine from a female point of view that you use it to communicate. And I think guys use it more for promotion and for... Do you find that? Is it a different use of social networking, male and female?
That's a good question. I would say I probably speak equally to men and women on Twitter. And I don't know from a guy's point of view, if the guys find they're talking to more men, maybe more women talk back to me because they check my name and see that I'm a woman. My name on Twitter is Podcast Junkie. So I've quite often seen comments where someone said, wow, Podcast Junkie is a girl? Where they're kind of surprised to see somebody with that name is female. So I'm not sure what the assumptions are when they first see my name, but you know, if they check my real name in my bio, then they know I'm a girl. I speak equally to men and women, and usually about the same things, but then I'm kind of a geek. So a lot of times we're all talking on the same topics as the guys are talking.
Kind of as I alluded to before, I think you use it great. And it's nice to see somebody that doesn't post a new blog post and just kind of auto whatever.
There needs to be a fine balance because, right. Yes, I want to promote my own stuff and I want to promote other people's stuff that I find interesting. But if you're doing too much of that, then that's just rude, inappropriate behavior on Twitter. There needs to be a nice balance of conversation and back and forth, as well as promoting a little bit of self-promotion.
What I really like is you use it to ask for help and help other people, too. It's really kind of a nice window to the world, almost.
It really is. The crowdsourcing opportunities there, and for your listeners who are not sure what crowdsourcing is, you have a question that, you know, maybe you weren't able to find the answer on Google. Everyone should always, always Google first before you go into social networking, asking them to do the Googling for you.
Yep.
But if you haven't been able to find a specific answer to something that's a unique question, you don't quite know how to ask it, if you have enough people who follow you on Twitter or are willing to retweet your question, retweeting means that they post your question from their feed, then eventually you will probably get some nice answers. And there's a lot of other people that use it for the same reason. I know T. Morris, and he's doing exactly that. I've seen him come on and say, hey, gang, I need an example of this. And, you know, boom, he's got 10 or 15 examples of a particular situation that he was looking to write about. Very useful way to treat Twitter.
Well, and I think finally we've hit the big time, and CNN is jumping in and other news sources are jumping in. I follow a number of folks that are writing for the Register. And so I think Twitter is now kind of being assimilated by the main populace. And so, you know, good or bad, I think they're all coming. So
the beauty of Twitter is that the ones who haven't figured out how to use it correctly and are maybe just posting links to their news articles or their news stories and not treating it the way that I want to follow their feed, then I can shut down their feed. I don't have to follow it.
And sure.
That's the beauty of Twitter. It is so simple that when spammers get on there, I just have to unfollow them. And it's very difficult to spam for any length of time and be effective because we are in control of what comes down our feed.
Let's just take a quick look back. 2008, as we all know, was a tough year. It just seemed like it was coming from all sides. The election was a wild, wild thing. I mean, that's a whole show that we could just discuss all the twists and turns. But I think anyone, and I mean this kind of in a small joking way, but actually in a very serious way, I think when it came down to who won, it was almost like, really? Yay! You know?
Yeah. I mean, there was just, from the economy point of view, right. Anyone who, it didn't matter which side was going to win, it's going to be a tough road, regardless of which side is in charge, really.
The tough part is, I think in any drop, I mean, you know, I'm old, but I'm not really old, but I remember all the drops along the way in the 80s and the 90s and the 70s, you know, gas lines and all this kind of stuff, of the blips and stuff in the stocks. But now we have just the bottom floor eroding. Like, it's gone now. And so this situation is serious. And so it's not something that a Warren Buffett or a Donald Trump can kind of just coast through and say, well, you know, it's just a few billion or a few million. It's whatever. This is serious. I don't know how many people you follow, and I don't know if this rings with you, but I remember back last year, podcasters and people I would see on Twitter, I was laid off. Mm-hmm. I lost my job.
Seeing it from sometimes the same people, and in some cases, they are people that I know. Either I know them by Twitter, or in one case, somebody that I know personally. Right. He lives near me, and we get together on a regular basis. He's a good guy and does a great job, and yet time after time, the companies he's working for are just, they're failing. And they have to lay people off. And so you're getting a series of unemployment, sometimes in the same person, and it's through no fault of their own. It's just the companies they're working for are dying off.
Like I said before, tough times have happened before, but this eclipses anything I've ever seen, because banks are failing. Whole companies are failing. The car industry is in a tailspin. I mean, this is not just, well, you know, it's a little problem here. The bottom line of companies are just, you can't see it. It's so far down. And so they're doing anything they can do to reduce cost, reduce staff. My wife and I, at this point right now, knock on wood, again, today, right now, are still employed. It could change tomorrow. The feeling is palpable. I can call my wife and she'd say the same thing. I travel for business. It has been cut back, way back. The air, and I've seen other Twitters that say this too, is you guys better step it up. Because if you don't, do I need to finish the sentence? There is pressure. Even if you have a job, like we were saying before, there's a gentleman too, probably the same person you're talking to, has been laid off multiple times. Family now is in, I wouldn't say crisis mode, but pretty darn close to it. It's a painful situation any way you slice it. I remember you and I were Twittering about how the economy is going to affect podcasting and all this. And you said, well, you know, there's certain things that you would do if something happened in your family. And then I saw, you know, the economy came knocking at your door. What happened? Can you say something about it?
Yeah, let's see. It was wasn't actually that long ago. It was a week ago this past Friday. So just a little over a week now, about a week and a half. And I heard my husband's keys in the door in the middle of the day. And he works a good 45 minutes away. So he doesn't come home for lunch in the middle of the day. Mm. And he had been laid off. And I've been a stay-at-home mom. So that means we are suddenly down to a zero income. And being on one income and living in Orange County meant that we were already stretching the dollar as tight as we could so that I could stay at home with the kids. Right. So it's a scary thing, suddenly having zero income.
Now, I'm going to tread as lightly as possible. Please don't get mad. But there was this kind of, it was kind of a great thing. And I understand being a mother is a job. I totally understand that. But there was kind of this, I'm a stay-at-home mom, and that is my identity. Mm-hmm. How do you feel now Did you go to college? Did you have any career aspirations beyond being a mom? How are you doing now?
Well, before becoming a mom, I was a teacher. I do have a college degree. I have a bachelor's of science. So I taught science and I taught math. And when I had my second, well, let me back up a little bit. When we had our first child, I went back to work, and my husband was a stay-at-home dad for one school year. So I went back to work for one school year, and he was a stay-at-home dad.
Okay.
And then when my second child was born, I'll save you the math. They're only 16 months apart, so they're fairly close together. So when my second child was born, we decided that I wanted to stay home with both kids, ideally until they hit kindergarten. And then the plan was for me to go back to work. And I didn't really want to go back to work as a teacher. Mm-hmm. I'm ready for a career change. Now, up until a week and a half ago, I thought I was going to have another couple of years to decide what I wanted to do as far as a career change. And suddenly it's, nope, boom, you're at the starting line, and you know, the racing gun just got fired. So get moving. So right now I'm trying to figure out what it is that I want to do using all of the skills that I have as a teacher, the education that I have in science and math, and tie that together with many of the organizational skills that I've learned through running a household and keeping a household with two little ones running smoothly.
You bet. You bet. Well, that's very interesting. So you have a background of knowledge, and the one thing I will toss out at you, my opinion, worth 2 cents, probably less now due to inflation, but if the landscape of the workforce is changing from oil to green, I think there is going to be a pocket of trainers and a training pocket that's going to be open up pretty big. Again, it's my 2 cents opinion.
Well, and that's something, one of the fields that I'm looking into is within education, but not as a teacher.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at something that's more of a guidance counselor, and it's at a college level, kind of helping out the freshmen, helping them learn the life skills that they're going to need, especially right now. So many people are going back to school, and education is the one area that, with the stimulus package and everything, that area might actually be growing. That's an area that they're going to need new people.
Right.
And I know there's positions where they need people like me who I have been a returning student. I have been a first-time young student.
Mm-hmm.
I went off to become a secretary and to get married. And then I became a returning student, and I got my degree at that point. So I have a lot in common with a lot of the returning students that are going to be hitting the colleges soon. And I know there are positions that are support positions for those people. And I think that I have the right skill set to perform that and to be their booster and be there, letting them know how you suddenly work college back into your family life plan when you weren't accustomed to having to be out that, you know, 2-3 nights a week to go into college.
The one thing I'll tell you is I have a bit of inside information, and it's only that I think some training in certain companies are going to be moving online.
Mm-hmm. And that's another area that I've been looking at, is taking my skills, especially with math, and helping people out online, because there's so many more opportunities, so many things that can be done right from your own home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
with online teaching.
You were working as a tutor, correct?
I had a small part-time tutoring, mostly trying to find some people online and some flyering around the colleges, local colleges.
Okay. So you're using the online aspect to kind of learn your skills that way as well?
Well, yeah, both in I have the skills as far as the math tutoring, but the math tutoring online and using whiteboards and all of that is just new and emerging, and thankfully it's emerging just at the exact right time that I need it.
Yep.
So that nowadays you can find free services where you can sit on a site with the client and talk via Skype, or sometimes the whiteboard sites actually have voice communication on them, and talk to the client while you're drawing things on their whiteboard, and you both can see it in real time.
Mm-hmm.
So there's some terrific services like that out there.
That is really a helpful thing, and I just want to let you know that, because that's what companies do. That's what we do. I mean, we use different software. We've used WebEx and iLink and different types of software, and it's basically the same thing as a Skype and a whiteboard where you share, you know, go to my PC, that kind of a thing. So I think you're on the right track, and I think that using your not as a teacher, but just as a someone who's transferring knowledge, okay? So whatever that is, then I think you definitely can use that, because I've read story after story after story of people who were a sock trader who went back to school and became something else. And so this career shift, I think, possibly could be, you know, a help in your situation. Is your husband looking for work as well? Is that going okay?
Well, right now, honestly, we're, you know, like any other family, if you suddenly bring the income down to zero. Thankfully, we did have some savings,
okay,
and weren't living month to month. And luckily, we did buy at a really good time. We did not buy recently. So we're okay enough that we're in crisis mode as far as we need a stream of income, but not in crisis mode as far as we have to take the very first job that anybody offers us. I'm looking at temp agencies to kind of keep us afloat.
Right.
And ideally, it would be great if he found another job where I could stay home. Most likely, since I'm the one with a college degree, I'm probably more, even though I've been at home for the last 2.5 years, I am probably more marketable than he is. I have a better chance of getting a good job than he does. So most likely he will find something, maybe in a swing shift, and that will allow me to work during the day. Or if I find a good enough job, then he's going to be a stay-at-home dad again.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to, like any other family faced with this, we're going to have some juggling to do for hours and childcare. And we're going to try to have at least one of us home as much of the day and night as we can.
Well, we're not done, but I do want to say hang in there.
Thanks.
And you've got a great attitude. And I think that's part of it. You know, in my experience, you know, losing a job, you go through the different phases of denial, numb, you know, mad, you know, whatever. And then you kind of say, okay, it's time to kind of move forward and maybe make a change or whatever. But you got a great attitude. So just want to say
I'm trying to see this as I knew that eventually I was going to go back into the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all kind of a surprise and hitting me a little bit sudden, but it's not as if I didn't know that this was a possibility.
Yeah.
So it's happening earlier than I had planned for it, but I'm also, part of me is also excited that I'm going to be doing something different. As much as I loved staying home with my kids, if I can find something that keeps our family afloat and allows me to find new paths, then that's a good thing. And I've had 2.5 years with both of my kids home. And before that, our daughter had time alone with her dad, which was great. So we've had a really good run, a lot longer than a lot of families have been able to pull off. So if that means that this has to end now and they need to go into daycare, I just have to be proud of the work we've done to give them a stay-at-home parent for the last 2.5 to 3 years.
You bet. And okay, let's kind of come into the last mile now. We discussed earlier that you're a whiz at that internet thing. So,
thank you.
Let me.
One thing I've learned about new media and social media and Twitter is it is so new and so emerging that if you think you know a lot about it, you're probably an idiot that doesn't really know very much. So I hesitate to say that I'm a whiz, because
right,
I see these people out there that know vastly more. Vastly more. Wow, was that a bad sentence? That know a lot more about it than I do. But it's something that I enjoy, and you could probably hear the energy in my voice when you started talking about it, that it's something that I really get excited about, because there seems to be so many possibilities, and there's so many companies are wasting the opportunity to talk to people who are talking about them.
Right.
People who are getting onto Twitter and complaining about their company, and nobody in their company is watching it. Nobody's watching the blogs and the Twitter and the Facebook messages to see how their company is being talked about. And they really should be. And they should hire me to do it.
Right. And I'm going to go off on a bit of a tangent, and you can stop me anytime. But I think old media and new media are finally in a death grip. What I see now is companies who hold to this type of, it all has to be internal and nothing can be open source. And, oh, we can't use Twitter. That's a fun thing. And we're not going to be fun. We're not fun here. We make money here. And that's how
us in new media are scooping the big news agencies on the big news stories, because someone in new media has a camera phone and posts it to Twitter. And I get my fastest news from Twitter.
Right.
And, sorry. Go on with your rant.
No, go ahead. Tell me about one instance where that occurred.
The plane that was ditched and the picture that many of the news services used, I believe, was taken from a camera phone and put up as a twit pic.
Yeah.
So of course it was, you know, taken because somebody was right there long before the big news agencies could get their fancy cameras out there. Someone snapped a picture, and it was just a beautiful picture that showed the entire story right there.
And I want to loop back and I want to highlight what Megan said one more time, is there's truth in what she's saying. If you think that driving someone out, taking gas, taking three people, because you've got an engineer, you've got somebody running the camera, and then you've got somebody that looks pretty with a microphone, and they're pretty, okay, great. And then you've got to drive them out there to stand them up to show a fire. When the people who are there with their camera phones have probably already sent video, pictures, you know, and have put in on Twitter what's going on, where is the fire at. So actually, people, just like what you're saying, people are the new news staff.
You know what? I'm gonna add another example. There was a fire. Was it last year or the year before? Up near Big Bear, there was a whole bunch of fires near Big Bear and Lake Arrowhead. Now, I have a family member that has a cabin up there. So I started looking at all of the forums for people in that area. There were some people who had ties in the fire department. They were able to get information. And we started putting together maps. We used Google Maps to show where the fire had hit, which homes had been lost, if we could find out, or this street name had lost three homes. So we could kind of look at the map and narrow into the cabin that we were interested in. And we all, again, crowdsourced it. We all started adding to this map. And I don't know if I had anything to do with it, but I put in to Google to say, hey, we need something so that on these Google Maps, multiple people can edit. Because what I had to do was to start a map and then just go and put the information about the map and the password on these forums so that everyone else could edit it as well.
Right.
And a few months after that happened, they added that feature to Google Maps. So now that's a common thing that happens. Every time there's some big event like a fire, somebody starts a Google Map and everybody who's interested in it starts adding information to it. So you can see as the information comes in what's happening.
We could talk all night about this, but Mumbai and different bits of information being floated around. And obviously you want to be careful about it, but hey, it's happening now. If you were waiting for something live, I can't tell you how many times there was a fire over here. It's over here in the 55 and the 91 near there, this big fire. And I remember Twitter just exploded. There's people here and posting this and posting twit pics here and there. I turned on CNN, nothing.
Yeah.
They're still talking about Hillary Clinton saying something or Barack Obama doing whatever. I mean, it's news, but I'm just saying that the readiness of news where people could die and people's houses are burning down is not readily available. Except
I know of one guy and I believe it was during that same fire, who went out to dinner. And when he came back, his house was gone.
Right.
Now, I don't know if he had, you know, hopefully at dinner, he probably wasn't checking his Twitter, but I'll bet there were people trying to get a hold of him to say, hey, where are you? Because there's a fire in your area.
Right.
And in his case, he came back to a home that, you know, that was gone, unfortunately. But I would not be at all surprised if there were people who were given a heads up via Twitter to say, you know, go grab your stuff, run home and, you know, grab your dog and your photo albums and get the heck out of there. And I'm sure some, probably some belongings and pets were, have to have been saved, if not in that fire, just that quick action of, oh my goodness, there's a fire near my friend. I better contact that person quickly. That's important information. It's not important to the national news media.
Right.
It may not even be important to the local news media down here, being down here in Orange County. Something happening here isn't all that important to them in LA until it becomes really, really big. But if I know someone that's in that fire zone, it is important to me.
Well, and one more little point and then we'll move forward is if you just have your friends as your group on Twitter, you're really wasting the power of Twitter.
Yeah, you're missing out on a lot. You're missing out learning about a lot of new, interesting people.
And I would say if you just have your mom and your sister and your two friends that you went to school with and somebody else, just don't use Twitter. Just
that's
don't.
What Google Chat. That's right. What Google Chat and Skype are for.
I follow so many different people that don't have internet marketer in their bio. I follow so many people. And I learned so much, and I am connected to so many different people. And I think that's what we're saying is the power of connection. The internet's got a bad name for making people desensitized to communication and kind of locking people in a room with World of Warcraft and all this kind of stuff. But I see the internet actually doing the opposite. It is taking the power in your hand, in your BlackBerry, iPhone, whatever, and connecting you to people all over the planet. And I think it's an amazing thing. And again, if you're a company listening to this or a person that works somewhere, hire Megan. Because if there's anyone who knows the power of Twitter, of all these social networking, and can distill it into something that can be beneficial to you, it's her. So the one thing I want to kind of finish on this is, has the internet assisted you in writing your resume, finding work, that kind of a thing? Has it been a help?
Yes, it has. I've just in the fact that I'm putting it out there on Twitter that I'm writing my resume. I mean, that's you're answering the question, what are you doing? Well, I'm redoing my resume. In my case, I had to do it from scratch because I hadn't thought about it in 2.5 years. Didn't think I was going to have to think about it for a couple of years, and wasn't able to place it. I had had a computer crash, and so I needed to do it from scratch. And being able to just, when I said that, a couple of people came back with, hey, I've just been through the same thing. If you want me to take a look at it, here's my email address. And so I had people that were giving me ideas. I put certain questions out there and got answers pretty quickly. They also sent me to a podcast I'd already been listening to, Manager Tools. Yeah, Manager Tools. Mm-hmm. Someone on Twitter told me you should also be listening to Career Tools, done by the same people. And these guys really, really know business. And they have a fantastic series that I have just been mainlining. I've just been listening to every episode that I can and giving me all kinds of information about the business world, because, you know, you realize my professional history has been as a teacher, not in the business world. And right. So I had a lot to learn, and I am learning a tremendous amount from both Manager Tools and from Career Tools. I'm also learning a lot from a show called Managing the Gray. Some of your listeners may be familiar with C.C. Chapman, because he does music shows. But his show, Managing the Gray, where he talks about marketing, but he talks about so many other things and using new media in so many wonderful, wonderful ways. And he doesn't put himself out there as a promotional speaker, but I really think he could. I think he could probably make a lot of money as a side business to what he's doing as a marketer, as a motivational speaker, because I know I get energized listening to his show.
Unless there's anything else, I think we've pretty well covered the gamut.
As far as TV and radio, they are definitely going to evolve. I don't think that they're either going to embrace having their media be on computers and be available on computers and have a connection between computer and television that is eventually going to become indistinguishable. I think that's what they're going to end up doing. And the same with radio. I think it's just going to change. Some shows are already embracing the idea of podcasts. I listen to a lot of radio shows that have been turned into podcasts, or a portion of them has been turned into a podcast, because they're recognizing that this is the new world and embrace it or die.
Embracing is one thing. I think the news is so late. It was interesting. I was watching, I think it was Jon Stewart. And I don't know why I was watching his show, but he was watching his show. And he had a gentleman that wrote in an article in Newsweek about don't let the newspaper die. And he was explaining the kind of wonderful picture of a man in a with a newspaper and a cup of coffee reading the news. And I'm like, yeah, but it's already late by the time it's printed. You know, and I understand a writer of a news piece is a writer, got that. But I just think that things are changing. And I think the internet is revolutionizing things, because for a podcaster, in the old days, it was well, we have to be on the radio. And so I'm going to go to school to be a radio disc jockey, and I'm going to have to learn how to play ads at certain points of the hour so I can get my voice out there. Or I have to be like Tom Likas or like Howard Stern and be a shock jock so that people, I can rise above the chatter. And now podcasters don't have to do that. They can be interesting. And, you know, I mean, we could rattle off 50, and I know you know these shows.
If I bring my iTunes list up, I could rattle off about 300.
And that's what I'm saying, is the power is now with the people.
Yes. But when it comes to news, I think there is still an important function that they fill, because I do want to have an organization that does have a certain set of standards. Now, you may not trust those standards, but something that they are held to, so that when we find out that they've made a mistake, they do need to do a retraction.
Okay.
I don't want to give that up yet. There is a certain structure, and with the economy falling apart into quicksand, I don't want that to fall apart as well. But I think that podcasters and bloggers absolutely need to take their place as an important part of the media.
Yeah. I am excited about this time in history, because the new that I'm involved in is now part of the landscape, and that excites me. I'm learning tools that other people are jumping on later, and mm-hmm. and I'm telling people who I would consider to be really savvy and on using the internet, and I introduce them to Twitter. I introduced a good friend of mine that I work with to Twitter, and she is just rolling with it. And it's exciting. The economy, yes, scary. Rebuilding. How long is it going to take before we pay off anything? Would anyone have been a perfect president to come in? I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, it's a tough gig, but.
Yeah, anybody coming into that position in any time is a tough gig. It's an especially tough gig right now.
Right.
And, you know, with this many people being unemployed, that's a lot of faces that you need to answer to.
Right.
And, you know, he's received a tough gig.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, we are going to get out of this, but it's not one person that's going to pull us out, you know. A good leader can certainly make it go faster, but it's not one person. It's not up to one person to pull us out. It's up to all of us to
True.
Pull us out.
I think the landscape of the economy, and I think America, has changed forever. I don't think we're going to be the same. I just don't. And I may be Pollyanna, kind of whatever, in a little dream world or whatever. But I think the days of the SUV and all the waste that we have done, I have done, is over.
Me too.
It's done. It's finished. And we will now pay the piper. And this is going to be tough. I think a lot of people are going to go through some rough waters. And we will make it. But what I like is the connection that you can derive from the internet and from these tools, these iPhones and these Blackberries, and the communication, I think is a fantastic thing. And I appreciate your time. And again, I feel for you. And hang in there. How can people get a hold of you?
They can email me. I'll give out my Gmail address. It's meganenloe@gmail.com. That's MEGANENLOE. That's E as in Edgar, N as in Nancy, L as in love, O as in Oscar, E as in Edgar. Sorry, people have a tough time spelling that one. Or you can find me at meganenloe.com.
Okay.
And I'll have all of my other stuff. I have lots of other little projects that are there. And I can also podcast Junkie on Twitter.
Thank you for listening to Roni's Own Radio. Please visit our website at jrdonline.com and drop us an email at jeff.roni@gmail.com. Thank you very much, and see you next time on Roni's Own Radio.